With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 295, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, July 12th, 2023.
Ooh. You know what that is? Means. National Pecan Pie Day, or Pecan Pie Day, depending on where you grew up. National Simplicity Day. I don't know what that is. Paper Bag Day. Eat Your Jello Day. National Different Colored Eyes Day. And Malala Day.
Okay. I'm on board with.
Shout out Malala, yeah.
I'm on board with pretty much all those things.
Paper Bag, Simplicity, Pecan Pie, Jello, Different Colored Eyes.
My mom's specialty growing up was Derby Pie, which is pecan pie with chocolate chips in it.
Oh.
Highly recommend my mom's Derby Pie. I've never had it from anyone else.
Just from having her cookies alone, I'm like, I'll eat anything your mother makes.
She's a wizard with the chocolate chips. And, you know, her Thanksgiving turkey stuffed with chocolate chips. Incredible. Secret ingredient, chocolate chips.
You haven't lived unless you've had a turkey thigh just injected with chocolate.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Bananas O'Brien.
Oh.
I had a weird banana experience this morning where I opened a banana. It like felt stiff, but it wasn't like not ripe stiff. It was like ripe, but it was stiff. And then when I started breaking it apart in my kid's cereal, there was wood in the, like a stem in the middle of the banana, which has never happened to me before. So I don't know. Let me know what's happening.
Yeah, produce out there. Gang, pull up. What happened with this
produce
banana?
Gang. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, aka Tuna Rounds Like Baby. Picking out the turtle shells. Eat tuna around Zyke, baby. Picking out the turtle shells. I eat tuna around my baby. And picking out the turtle shells. That's obviously a take on Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine. Plus my love for Subway tuna, which they say is turtle maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I believe it's just tuna that's been so cooked to shit that all the genetic information has been just destroyed. And they don't know what it is. But anyway, shout out to Lockeroni on the Discord for that. And yeah, obviously, shout out Subway Tuna.
Most importantly, shout out Subway Tuna. Yeah. Miles, we are thrilled to be joined for the first time by a very funny TV writer, producer, stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. whose one-woman show, Oh God, a show about abortion, was on Broadway last year. No big deal. It's Allison Levy!
Allison!
Hello! Sadly, off-Broadway.
Oh,
it's okay.
I don't know if abortion and Broadway go as quite together as off-Broadway. So,
I missed the off in the description.
That's
but
okay.
It's great. Yeah.
Is that like a big thing in Broadway where like people really going to come? Like, I get that there is a difference, but like at that point, you know.
No idea.
It's
no
on stage.
Idea whatsoever. I'm just like, well, it wasn't a musical, so.
Right.
Which, I mean, if somebody wants to write an abortion musical, like, I'm here to help you. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Amazing. Allison, you're in New York.
I am in New York. Yes.
Off-Broadway.
Sweating my way through New York right now. It's so hot here.
Yeah. It's like you said it's the 90s?
90s. I was out doing a WGA abortion rights picket today because it's fun to kind of combine all of the nightmares that are plaguing our current culture and try and fight them all in 1 2-hour window. So I was outside marching around, and now I'm just very happy to be home and talking to you guys from my air-conditioned apartment.
Yeah. What are the vibes of the WGA East? The crews pulling up in New York, because we see it all. What's the New York picket life like?
It's the New York, I think that I haven't been to an LA picket, but I've been to all the New York or a bunch of the New York ones, and it's exactly the same discrepancy between New York and LA and every other element of the entertainment industry. It's like lower key celebrities, like everybody's carrying their coffee around. Like, it just feels like, I'm like, yes, this is the New York side of the WGA. But I did get to meet Mandy Patinkin a few weeks ago, and that was thrilling appearance to
We love Mandy around here.
He's the best.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good appearance.
There's some good ones.
Is Drew Carey also paying for meals on the East Coast? Is someone doing anything like that for y'all? Or that's just for
they've
West
had like
Coast
food
writers.
Trucks and stuff pull up. And I think there's a couple of restaurants around town who offer a WGA discount if you have your membership card. But, we don't have very many game show hosts here who have just been rolling in cash for 2 decades. I don't know if anybody's like down to also just like New York. I mean, the food's so expensive.
Drew Carey's like, oh, look, Bob's Big Boy is one thing, but I can't handle Russ and Daughters or something. Yeah,
it's like, oh my God, if Russ and Daughters would hook us up, I would be forever thrilled.
I feel like the 90s is when the garbage starts, like something gastronomical starts happening to the garbage juices.
Yes.
It's like it creates a garbage stew and you can kind of smell it everywhere. Have you smelled anything interesting?
It's a smell it compares to nothing else. They're really like hot garbage is just, I think that most people don't even really understand what it smells like unless you've been in New York when it's 95 degrees.
Yes.
Or, you know what? I've smelled it in LA. I'll be honest. You just have to be on the wrong street corner at the wrong time.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally. It's more pervasive in New York.
Yeah, it's just you can't escape it. It's just too small of an island to possibly outrun a smell.
When I lived there, there was like a month where my entire neighborhood smelled like maple syrup for no reason that anyone could explain.
I remember that.
Yeah.
They found out it was like winds were blowing, wasn't it?
From
just
New
like
Jersey.
The preservative factories and like the processed, like it was like, the place where they make like vanilla extract or something.
Oh, so so we did get to the bottom. Jack would always talk about, he's like, you always bring this up about the maple syrup, but there was an actual
explanation. That's what the government wants you to believe. It was I think it was ghosts of some sort.
Yeah.
Pancake loving ghosts.
All right, Allison, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to check in with my pillow guy. What's he been up to? He was everywhere there for a little while.
Yeah.
How are things working out for him?
Let's check in.
Yeah. There's a big masculinity push happening in politics right now. I feel like it's a dumb thing to say, like, Idiocracy was a documentary, but it truly feels like in this moment, politics is trending in the direction of, like, WWE wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's just, like, trying to be the stronger, bigger person. We're going to talk about the Orb in Las Vegas, because I can't stop thinking about it.
You really fucking get something.
This thing really
fucking
got me, man. So just a little backstory and future story of like what it's aimed at. Who's behind the Orb? It's very sinister. And we will talk about the Barbenheimer phenomenon. The phenomenon of Barbie and Oppenheimer coming out on the same day. Why are they coming out on the same day? And just the craze that it has caused. They've sold 20,000 double bills, like 20,000 fans will be catching a double feature.
Hell yeah.
It's a long day.
That is a long day.
It's a long day.
Like, the filmmakers are like publicly on board, but I feel like that's the worst way to experience one of those movies. Whatever comes second is going to be grueling. It's like, you know what I want for people watching my Barbie movie is for it to feel emotionally grueling.
That would be wild to chase Barbie. Like I always say, following Barbie up with Oppenheimer is a true test of like your mental fortitude, I think, because I didn't realize Oppenheimer's 3 hours.
Yeah. No, these are like,
and Barbie's 154. We're calling that two.
That's two.
Yeah. Okay.
You go Oppenheimer first, Barbie's going to feel real long. Like that, oh, that extra 24 minutes after it hits the hour and a half mark, you're going to be like, yo.
That's what I'm saying. I think Oppenheimer after Barbie, you'd completely lose all sense of time and like you're where you are on Earth.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Oppenheimer before we'll Barbie, never sicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know the old saying.
But before we get to any of that bullshit, Allison, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I yesterday was looking up the public pool hours in New York. Yes. Because I'm a huge, huge, huge advocate of going to the public pools in New York City. Because everybody's like, I mean, ew, gross, the public pools. Like, I'd rather go to a hotel. And I'm like, okay, but the pools are run by the city and have like really intense guidelines about how clean they have to be. And you know who doesn't have those guidelines? Any hotel. I don't know if any hotel pools are getting cleaned in the way that the public pools in New York are. So I am a huge fan. They're freezing cold. Yeah. If you live in New York, you should. They're super. They're like, because they're like cooling centers. Like they're for people, especially right. who don't have air conditioning in the summer.
They're also
the location of a lot of the free lunches that get, you know, for students. So in the summer, you're not in school. That's where they do it. I love, love, love the public pools. But I was I've never gone early enough to know what time they open. So I was like, I guess I should find out. And it's 11, which I think is a little close for me. So I don't know if I'll ever get there at opening, but noon feels right.
Right. Did you grow up in New York?
In New York? No.
Yeah.
I grew up in Maryland, but I've been here for 16 or 17 years now,
which is
crazy because I'm 20.
God, you're so mature.
Just kidding. I would never want to be 20 again. My God.
Oh, yeah. Some of the most chaotic times in my life.
Nothing.
Because like L.A., the pools in L.A. are just because of the ambient heat. Mm-hmm. Not always like super cool, but you definitely cool off. But then we also just have like all those like splash parks now where it's just basically the equivalent of like an open fire hydrant, but in a like foam ground area to make it safe for kids.
I love the public pools in LA though too. I used to go swim in those when I lived there. They're the best. I love pools. I guess that's something about me. I love pools. It's unique.
I've talked before on here about how my first job out of college was as a pool boy at the Soho House, the roof deck of the Soho House when that had just opened. And I was in charge of, just to your point about them not having regulations, I was in charge of like the chlorine levels. Also,
you were?
Yeah. They were like, I had somebody who like knew more about it, who checked with me every once in a while. But I was like doing the pH testing and was in no way equipped to do that. I had to like pull a drowning kid out of the pool one time. I was there during the blackout of whatever year that was.
2003?
Yeah, 2003. Yeah. And everybody like came to that pool. It was a tiny pool. It was like halfway between a pool and a bathtub.
Yeah,
and
it's like the size of a couch.
But everyone thought it would be a cool place to hang out. And it was like milky by the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't know what I was doing. They just like put whoever's up there in charge of like the chlorine levels.
Yeah. Because like on the other side, like in Vegas, their pools, like if you open your eyes under the water, it will just strip like membranes from your like eyeballs. So
your eyes will turn like five shades
clear.
Yeah.
Exactly. you just have White Walker eyes after you open them underwater. What is something, Allison, that you think is overrated?
Okay, this is a hot take.
Hot take for a hot day.
Frozen drinks. I think like, I love a frozen drink. Like, I think it's a fun, but like, I feel like I never taste the drink that I'm getting when it's frozen because what you taste is cold. And I would rather have a drink that tastes like what it is and maybe is like chock full of ice, like a really icy, like, I would rather have a great margarita on the rocks with a ton of ice than a frozen margarita. Because I love the taste of a margarita. It's like super tart, delicious. But I just think frozen drinks like are not, they're not where it's at when it comes to taste.
Because like the little bits of ice are just kind of fucking up your taste.
And I think it's like such a shock to have like so much ice in your mouth at once that like I think it does like numb a little bit of your this is me not being a scientist claiming this, but I do think your mouth is tasting cold. Like you're
tastes
tasting
like cold.
Yeah, which like sure. Great. There's times I totally want to taste cold.
Yeah.
But most of the time I want to taste alcohol. So.
Did you have something recently that kicked this, or was it a margarita? Was it a frosé? Was it a frozen Paloma?
I see a lot of those. Love a Paloma. Recently chose a rocks margarita over a frozen one when presented with the option. And I feel like I was met with a lot of kind of shock by the people I was with because it was hot outside. But I was like, I want to taste the lime and the tequila. And like, that's what I'm getting the drink for.
Right. Yeah, because I think sometimes if the ratios are wrong, it is like hint of flavor with ice shards or like eating a bunch of snow or something. But
yeah. Exactly. Okay. So that's, you know, not probably not a popular opinion.
What about a Slurpee? You know, we celebrated
7-Eleven. We're recording this on Slurpee Day. I was going to say. This
is today Slurpee Day? Oh, right. Yeah, it's 7-Eleven.
Yeah, you get a free one.
Shit. Yeah. Am I near a 7-Eleven?
Uh-oh, someone's wheels are turning now.
I'm like, how do I get a 7-Eleven? Like, I love a Slurpee. But again, like, I think those first few sips are colder than they are flavorful.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm. Once it kind of melts a little bit, then you're getting more of the delicious chemical syrup that makes a special American drink.
Yeah. It has to be like 90% sweeter than it would otherwise because it has to break through the overwhelming, like the mouth feel that is just like, I have snow in my mouth.
Yeah. And I do like when you drink a Slurpee, and I think other frozen drinks are similar, like there is an ability to kind of like suck up all the syrup and flavor, and you're sometimes left with like a lighter color. Like, I'm thinking of when I've had a Slurpee, and like, then you're starting to see like, oh, I'm sucking all the stuff from the bottom. And then you're just left with this, like, you know, the concept of a flavor, crushed ice. And like, and I, you know, it's like, I want
LaCroix
the whole thing.
Flavor.
Yes. The LaCroix
Slurpee flavored LaCroix.
Someone three rooms away says blueberries. I'm like, that's what the flavor is.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, you know, there's a place and a time for something frozen. I do love a good Slurpee, but I think they're overrated.
Yeah.
Across the board, frozen.
A glass of rosé better than frosé.
Yes, 100%. Right. And you'll get drunker faster. And isn't that what we're all after when we're having frozen alcoholic drinks?
Truly.
When frosé, I guess, probably missed me. Mm. What is that?
That's like
is
a last
like,
5 years.
Do they serve
thing.
It in the...
Yeah.
Oh, it's got the like swirly thing. That's
everyone's doing it
constantly.
It's like the new thing, especially in LA, because it's the heat. It's like there's frosé. There's like frozen Palomas everywhere. Yeah. There's Fregronis I've seen.
Yeah, it's like that's like the opposite of what a Negroni is supposed to like be about. I made frosé at home a few years ago. Right, total class. Three kinds of alcohol. I made frosé at home a few years ago. It's super easy too. Like you could just buy cheap rosé and make ice cubes out of it, and then blend that up with a little more wine, and suddenly you have frozen wine.
Yeah. There it is.
What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to stick on a food kick here since I brought up drinks. Parmesan goldfish. I don't know if people encounter these very often. They are harder to find. I have a bodega near me that does keep them sometimes. I just poured a bunch in my mouth before we started recording this, But it's just a nice, like, it's subtler than cheddar. But it's like a little more interesting than just like a plain cracker.
Right.
They're terrific. If you see them, they have a green package.
Yeah.
Get the Parmesan goldfish.
I'm such a goldfish purist. Like, I don't even eat the flavor blasted ones. Like, I've tried them.
I find it
them.
To be overwhelming.
Yeah, they're a little... I'm a kid at heart who just remembers like the big carton being poured into my wax Dixie cup for snack time.
Yeah.
And I just always want to like recreate that. But I don't think I've ever had the Parmesan one, and I see it all the time, but I'm ignorant. I'm rigid.
They're like albino goldfish.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. They look
very
more
nuanced
natural,
flavor.
Sure.
Very subtle.
I am going to try them now. I've always steered clear.
I thought
it unnatural.
It does feel like, one, you know, goldfish are supposed to be neon orange, and these are not. And two, like, you know, Parmesan is just like not a flavor I associate with a snack food that's like geared towards children. Like, I don't think of kids being like, is this Parmesan or Pecorino? Like, that like very like nutty earthiness is not something I think kids are like really chasing after.
But
I'm an adult and I love them.
Yeah.
This is the goldfish for your charcuterie board.
Ah.
Absolutely.
Right? Do you have the Grana Padano goldfish?
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And the MyPillow guy, we love him, don't we, folks?
Oh, yeah, folks. We love
him. He hasn't really been in the news much lately.
No.
After he just kind of quieted down for a while. But he does seem to be firmly in the find out phase of fucking around and finding out.
Yeah. So, you know, he had quite a run during the Trump presidency. You know, he went from wacky racist loser that sells pillows on TV to wacky racist loser that sells pillows on Fox News segments.
Right. He moved from the commercials into the actual segments.
To Tucker Carlson, which
Has anyone ever done that before?
I mean, honestly, that is a glow up. You know,
that is like a huge glow.
Game recognized game in show business. Look, you went from being the person who was paying to be on the show to just somehow being on the show because you were willing to say whatever the fuck was going on. Mm-hmm. And his love of Trump was the engine that drove him upwards and ultimately the catalyst for his professional implosion.
And that never happens with people who partner up with Trump. No, it's so weird. When
it usually ends with you ascending to the highest heights of our criminal justice system. Right. But, you know, he's been one of the most vocal proponents of the big lie, and he did countless live streams. We talked about the conventions he held and, like, where he was like, I'm going to show you guys, like, the real thing that's going on here, and it, like, never came to fruition. And none of that happened, and his boner for upending democracy has also cost him his business because multiple big box retailers and websites have decided to no longer carry MyPillow products. He says his revenues have fallen by about $100 million. Now,
I'm just like,
was
he making that much money? Like, I'm just so confused by that business. Like, was it really successful?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, let's see. I mean, you can't really believe anything he said, but let's see. What kind of revenues are they making in 2019? 17.3-ish. So I don't know what 100 means. It sounds like a bit of hyperbole, but it did go from a multi-million dollar business to... Now he is trying to liquidate all of the equipment and furniture in his fucking factory. He's recently listed more than, quote, 850 surplus equipment items on an online auction site, KBID, sewing machines, industrial fabric spreaders, forklifts, even desks and chairs. are up for auction. And not only that, he's had to find like shit for his employees to do because business has slowed to like a fucking halt. Some people he moved over to like his online marketplace where they sell all kinds of crap. And some have been like shifted to his addiction and recovery business.
Oof,
like, I don't know how you go from
me the chills.
Grim. Yeah.
Grim.
That gave my like bowels goosebumps.
Oh, like, yeah. You're like
imagining his addiction and recovery business. Like,
yeah, exactly. And then having like someone who was working on making bad pillows be like in charge of anything there.
Yeah, like, giving your methadone. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know. And apparently, like, he said he's worried, like, you know, if some employees might leave because they don't like what they're doing now. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. He said so far he hasn't had to fire anybody. I don't know how true that is. But this is all while Dominion is suing him. Dominion Voting Systems is suing him because of his participation in all the election lies for $1 billion.
Whoops.
And this other thing that happened recently, another court ruled in arbitration that he had to cough up $5 million to a software engineer who won a contest called Prove Mike Lindell Wrong and Win $5 Million, put on by Mike Lindell, who said, I dare anyone to go through this data set and show me that there's no gobbledygook malarkey going on. This software engineer proved that and said, where's my $5 million? He didn't pay. And now the court says, yeah, motherfucker, you have to pay him. And he called the ruling frivolous.
Oh, my God.
So he's kind of in a, yeah, it's a bad
slept way. On a My Pillow. Has anyone ever, like, seen one in the
is
wild?
Is it actually a good pillow?
I'm so curious as to, like, what it's like. Like, is it a regular pillow? Is it a memory foam pillow? Like, I don't understand
what he was selling
to start with.
Yeah.
I remember when he first came on the scene, like people saying that it's more of like a marketing machine and it's a pretty unremarkable pillow.
Yeah. There are good
and bad pillows. They're right. Like, and yeah.
He doesn't also give me the kind of vision of someone who understands sleep. Like he seems like somebody who's awake 24 hours a day on speed. Like him and Trump are just like, all right, let's do this. Like,
and truly, like he's been open. He's like, yeah, I used to smoke crack. Like, and I'm in recovery. So, and I know a little bit about pillows. And you're like, I don't know if you're like a guy with a push broom mustache is the one. I'm like, yeah. What about pillows? Like, I'll ask him about like, I don't know, seat cushions for like truck drivers or something like that.
Right.
Not what's good for my spine and neck health, but.
I wonder what got him into the pillow game to start with. Such an odd business to try and break into.
I vaguely remember when we were first covering him, like his origin story had something to do with like him being up for like days at a time and like that having something to do. So he's like, I know pillows because I've like tried to sleep well, going through withdrawals or something along those lines.
Apparently, he sold up some bars that he owned and mortgaged his house to hand sewed the pillows himself in the beginning and handled all the sales with some help from his family. This is back in 2004.
Himself. No, he didn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Complete bullshit.
But this also, is where but it's a grift because at the end of the day, he was going on Fox talking about like, you got fibromyalgia, you got MS, these pillows will help. Without any support, like scientific evidence. And so that was how like momentum started going where people were like, these are like the pillows that you need. When in fact, they're just
regular old.
They are just pillows.
You're just buying election denying pillows. But yeah, you know, you hate to see it, folks. He's gone from, you know, one of the best we had on Fox News to now selling industrial fabric spreaders on an auction.
All right, pillow. Mm.
Yeah. R.I.P. P for pillow. Rest in pillow.
Rest in pillow.
He does seem like one of these people who just was able to lie successfully for 15 years in a row, just full breaks or full all gas, no breaks on like just I lie and like keep getting richer. And it just he just wasn't able to like switch to a different gear and just like drove over a cliff. So you really have to feel sorry for him, folks, is what I'm saying here.
Totally.
He was blinded by his own privilege. He didn't know what he was doing. He was getting away with it for so long. That's not fair.
Taking out a mortgage on your own house, like starting out in a fucking garage, hand creating the product, like Steve Jobs started out in a garage, just like melding together the different parts for that. But like, these are all bullshit stories that are in every person, like every successful company's origin story. And it's always like the truth is like they took out a loan from their dad or their dad's rich friend, you know? Yeah. A guy I met golfing.
If you're looking for a massage table, he's also selling massage tables apparently in these auction listings. He's
Why? What were those?
Get it for $5.
What were those a part of? Were they personal business?
No idea. No idea who used them and for what purpose.
He's like, it's just mine, but you can have it. I need $5.
God, what could his addiction and recovery business be like? He just seems like a person who, like in recovery, seems to fully embody the drug he was abusing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which I don't know how you pull that off necessarily.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
does it have a does his recovery program have a name? Like, I kind of need him to have every business he starts, of which I assume there's going to be many over the years, be like branded as like my blank. Like,
it's called my the Lindell Recovery Network.
So his guy's name on it.
It's a addiction. It's an addiction resource organization. Okay. So it's probably like another grift where I don't think they're probably been like, here, we'll connect you with a group of businesses that we can also profit from if you have the misfortune of coming to this website looking for help.
Yeah. Oh, are you addicted to crack? Do you need a forklift for cheap? Those are the two things we got for you.
Yeah, we'll throw on a forklift for you.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, we could do some therapy to kind of get to the root of your trauma, but I think you just need a massage table. Like, three of them.
Work out some of those kinks.
You want to buy some Stanzo brand fedoras? Like, they stink, but they're great. They're Stanzos, man.
Gotta take them all. You gotta take all 20 massage tables. Sorry. Yeah. There's no deal.
The deal's gonna be tearing out mine. There's fucking no deal.
All right. Big, like, kind of embarrassing feats of masculinity, of like insecure masculinity, seem to be having a real moment right now, just generally, like with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg getting most of the attention with their, like, I'll beat you up. No, I'll beat you up. My mom says I can't beat you up. So let's compare penises. Did his mom sign off on the comparing penises thing?
Yeah, apparently it was her idea.
Why don't you show how big your penis is?
Elon, just like we said, don't fight. Just pull your penis out.
Yeah.
That's how you always solve your problems.
She should have told her husband that.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't have to deal with Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's also, it's bleeding its way over into politics, of course.
Yeah, and you'd argue that it's been like this since Trump took over the party, where, like, you know, Josh Hawley, we saw him be like, here's my book about being a man. But yeah, like right now, right, we talked about RFK Jr. looking like he was pumping weight in the fucking prison yard. And like, everyone was like, whoa, shit, RFK's fucking ripped, FK. And then we also, there's Governor Asa Hutchinson, who's also running. He recently just casually bragged. He's like, yeah, I'm 72, but I still play full court basketball. And you're like, okay, fine. Okay. Like, we get
that. Have you seen him ball? He's actually like really good. It's crazy.
I want to. Dude, I wish I could play Asa Hutchinson. I would twist his ass up so bad. And I'm not even that good at basketball, but I know he is not that quick. There's Vivek Ramaswamy, who is like the 37-year-old GOP guy running. He's like he's been making it his thing that he's like, I'm so good at tennis, I can beat former collegiate tennis players. He recently described he even had to say this, put this quote on wax. He said, I'm probably about the level of somebody who was, I don't know if they were a Division I college tennis player, but they were like maybe 5 to 10 years out. Like, seriously, he's saying that like on his, like, you know, stump stops as he's running for president.
That's his whole platform.
Yeah.
Just that. Yeah.
And then we have Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, who's also running. He's the latest to talk up his ball sack by bragging about how he crushed a 5K race. He said, name another presidential candidate who can play sixth in a 5K with a 24.5-minute run time. Go. Which led a lot of avid runners to do a bit of quick maths on Twitter. Point out he was basically doing about an 8-minute mile time. Like,
that's just
like
good. That would be really good for me.
That'd be good for me, but like, I'm not bragging about it.
Yeah, I also would run for president.
That's what people do after Thanksgiving. Like,
yeah, that's turkey
like before Thanksgiving dinner.
Exactly.
Like,
okay, you kept it up for 3 miles. But then a lot of people said you actually placed 87th overall and you placed 6th in the 45 to 49 age group specifically.
There were 10 people in that age group.
Yeah. And then other people were like, Pete Buttigieg actually ran a half marathon at this. Like, people started clapping back in all kinds of ways. And then one of Ramaswamy's staffers even hopped in to brag about their boss's running prowess, which then led Suarez to challenging Ramaswamy to a fucking jogging duel.
Jogging?
Cool. Yeah. Oh,
God.
This is so, which is all to say, we are firmly like in this era where the projection of power is like more important than actually knowing what the fuck you were doing as a legislator. And whether it's like shooting machine guns in your campaign ads or challenging other candidates to like a push-up contest. I know Biden was saying like, let's do some push-ups, Trump.
Oh, God.
It's all just a proverbial, you know, dick measuring contest. And I think a lot of
why we have such like manly figures at the head of both parties, Biden and Trump.
Trump, yeah. Yes. Exactly. Paragons of health.
Which is what most people are saying. They're like, this is probably because the fact that both parties aren't thrilled in the fact that their front runners are far from their prime in terms of physical fitness, that now this is becoming the new currency, especially in the GOP, to be like, okay, yeah, I'm obviously younger, but like, check out my sick forehand on the tennis court. Like, what?
Yeah.
Also, like, bragging about the things you do that are like physical, like I think be healthy, do things you want to do. But I'm like,
yeah.
How much time a day are you doing politics and how much time a day are you doing exercise? Like that's I'm just like, I don't know. Like you look at RFK and I'm like, good for him, whatever. He's in good shape. But I'm like, you're old. How much time did it take to get that ripped? And like
17 hours
a day. Done anything else right, with that right. time? I don't right. trust it. I mean, in a million reasons, I don't trust him. But like,
right.
It's just such an odd thing to like bring into. I mean, we know why, because like masculinity is, of course, the only quote unquote way to be powerful.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It seems so odd to not ever consider political prowess as something that any of them should brag about.
No, completely. It's just like, how what's your mile pace in a 5K? What? And it's not even like I get 8 minutes is nothing. Is great, but it's not like this guy was like, he's like, I kept a 6.5 minute mile time up for 3 miles. Then you're like, oh, okay, maybe. I don't know why. Yeah. It just reminded me of like my mile time in high school when I hated to run the mile. And I was like, The best I ever did was like 7 minutes. So I'll hold on to my best performance at 16 years old.
Yes.
And compare that to a 45-year-old adult. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm better.
I feel like, first of all, like we've seen this. Well, we've seen this with like the Liver King and like people online who are just selling an image, a steroid enhanced image, and then claiming that it's from like eating naturally. But like we've also seen it with like just how horny Trump is for like big muscular arms. Like
yeah.
He just always loves to reference.
I'm curious, like, if there was a GOP candidate who like just started wearing sleeveless shirts and was like pretty jacked. Like what that would do to the polling. Like
Trump would immediately make him his vice presidential pick.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just curious because no one is like necessarily like an overtly like Giga Chad super mask dude who's like in the race. And I have a feeling.
Are you
like,
assuming that DeSantis is going to drop out? Did you not see that ad?
What I'm actually presuming is he's about to tear those sleeves off at his next press conference. He's like, it's getting a little hot in here, huh, folks? And just has like the stringiest arms, but hey, we'll see.
But I feel like that would really fuck Trump up. There's him wearing shorts with like a long sleeved shirt on the beach. So
yeah,
we've seen him in a short sleeved shirt with a vest over it, though. I mean, he's shown us what he's got. What's under those white boots?
Exactly.
He's all calves.
He's all calves. Yeah, he's got legs like daikon radishes.
I don't really even know what that means. But.
That's a thing we say in Japanese. like ashiga daikon mitai, which is like, have you seen a daikon radish?
I'm going to look it up now.
Here, I'll play it. Or not play it. This is a daikon radish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the chubby little, yeah.
Just like say like, yeah, carrot. You got like a unicalf. You call that a daikon. Like, anyway. So I'm bringing my own culturally toxic phrases to this show that you can spread around with your friends.
But this is a way we've talked about how we like see different ways that the 80s are coming back with like the last time that fascism was this openly embraced in the United States. We were, of course, like obsessed with like bodybuilders became our movie stars. Cocaine was everywhere. And those have been two of the stories in the past, I think, week that like cocaine is super popular again. And now, like, even politicians feel the need to be, like, jacked.
I know, so. Like, someone be like, I was actually an envoy for the UN to the Taliban. Like, they're like, yeah, how much can you bench?
Shut right? up.
See those triceps. Because that's going to do what? Guys. Tries are for the guys. People know that. Yeah. That's where the respect comes from. When they see you with that horseshoe tricep, bro, it's over. It's over for Trump.
All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and talk about the orb. I'm into this orb, you guys.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And did we talk about the orb on yesterday's episode? I feel like so Miles and I were in Las Vegas over the weekend.
Heard of it?
I just went for the first time as an adult, like a couple weeks ago.
Did you see the orb?
Yes, but it wasn't kind of like as up and running as it is now. It was I was there in May. So it wasn't like turned on.
It hadn't reached its full power.
Like, I mean, I was turned on seeing the orb, but like it wasn't turned on.
Right. I was kind of turned on seeing the orb, I have to say. Like
you were vibrating. Yeah, it is, when you looked
when it was in sight on the horizon or like in, you know, like in sight line of where we were in the city, I was looking at it. When we weren't, I was showing Miles pictures of it from like on my phone. I was like, yo, but look at this.
Through the orb. I'm like, yeah, from earlier when we looked at the car, like, yeah, but this is a picture like, of it.
This is a picture of it. This is a video. Yeah. You can kind of see that.
And
it's,
I remember, I think when we were leaving the Thomas and Mack Center, I was like, Jack, dude, look, the orb. And you're like, where? You're like, yeah, orb.
I was so excited. So into the fucking orb. It is. I don't know. It just makes the Vegas Skyliner, I'm assuming it's going to show up in a lot of other places, but it makes everything around you look photoshopped. They're
wait,
like
so
all
what
these,
is, weird. What is the orb even? Because like all I know of it was like that it was an LED display that's just gigantic, like hemispherical thing. But what?
Yeah.
Does so anything
walk
happen
us into
in
orb
it?
World? Yeah.
There. So is it's like not open yet, but okay. It's coming, and it's going to be. It's going to be a concert venue where like the, you know, so U2 is on slate to like be the first show and do like a big weird show that involves Bono holding a handheld camera up to his face. And like then the whole city of Las Vegas needs to see it. Like, a guy loves to be like, look how big my fucking face is, you guys. Holy shit.
Orb.
But yeah, so they have that planned. They also have, they're working with Darren Aronofsky to like show, I think, one of his movies.
Oh,
which I have to imagine is The Whale. But I don't know. Like,
Ray, check out Requiem for a Dream in the Orb tonight.
In the like, Orb?
Like, which seems like the sort of thing is going to make James Cameron so jealous. But
right.
Like, what, like, when you say like show a movie, like, on the outside or on the inside? Like, if you're just like driving through Las Vegas, are you going to be like, oh, cool, Black Swan? Like, is it
right?
Well, being
that is one of the objections people, that is one of the objections people have is that, like, it is so strange looking. Like, you're looking at a skyline, hazy buildings, and then somebody has photoshopped this like high definition basketball just sitting there, mm-hmm. like slowly spinning. Like, you could just reach out and pick it up. Like with
the eyeball
hand.
Was
yeah,
the really
eyeball
upsetting.
Was really crazy,
freaky. Yeah,
the moon
like
was really cool, but yeah. So it's but people are objecting that that's like a huge distraction to drivers, like who are already distracted.
Yeah. Also,
like right on this trip,
I imagine that a lot of people treat Las Vegas the way I did for my first visit as an adult, which is I was on drugs the whole time. Like I was just popping edibles and sipping on wine and had the my friends and I went to go see Rod Stewart for my other friend's 39th birthday. Ooh. And it was the best thing I've ever done. It was so much fun.
He's still got it.
He's out there. Right. He's performing. He's dancing. He needs a lot of breaks, but he's doing it. But like, right. I was
like
already
15 seconds.
He's like, I'm going to sit down. No, but he's still dancing. He still hits a lot of the notes.
Okay.
But like, just the colors and the lights of everything else in Las Vegas was overwhelming to my gummies in like filled brain. Right. I was like, oh no, I'm overwhelmed in every way that I could possibly be. And I don't know if I was stoned and saw the orb, I think I'd explode off this planet. I just wouldn't be able to like deal with anything anymore.
Because there's like a the inside of it in the venue will also just be a big screen, right? Like,
yeah, 16,000 LED light screen.
I don't know what that means.
Which wraps over and around much of the audience and can augment the concert experience with trippy animations or close-ups of the performance.
No, I think they mean like 16K as in 4x4K. Like
what
resolution.
Does that
mean? Like there's 4K resolution, there's 8K, and then there's fucking 16K because that's how gigantic and well high definition that shit's gonna be.
Yeah, that is the thing. It's just the highest definition thing that you've ever seen. Seems to be like what its trick is. But it,
I don't like it. I'll say it.
I don't like it, and I do. You know,
yeah. I want to have the drug freakouts in there though, just to experience that when it's like, and now it's turned into a T-Rex mouth, and I'm like,
scary.
Like, no. But at least I want to go through that just so I can have that experience, and then I'll run out into the street screaming.
Yeah,
I didn't even like seeing the Luxor. I was like, are we in Egypt now? What's happening? Like, just overwhelmed, too confused the whole time.
Yeah, it is really disorienting. It's. People should go at some point before it is no longer a thing that is possible. Or as Miles suggested, maybe it is just the future that we're all going to be living in, where you like walk from one building to another inside air-conditioned corridors while the outside is completely uninhabitable.
That sounds right.
And and you need a 16K definition orb screen above you to recreate the sky. So you're like, I'm outside.
But I feel like every city is going to have one of these within like 20 years.
Like, you think so? You think the orb, the sphere, the orb is the way of the future?
I think so. I think okay. I think like this is going to be the first little piece of like Blade Runner technology that's going to make everything around us seem super fucking surreal and like, yeah, just like mess with your depth perception and like,
no thanks.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I welcome the orb.
We're going to have to. I don't want to say anything bad about the orb now.
Yeah. Right. We should have known when Trump went to Saudi Arabia and they gave him that orb.
Yeah, right? We're living in the orb, the period of the orb.
Oh, my
God. This is our orb era.
Yeah, we're in our orb era. Oh, well, invest in orbs, folks.
Yeah. The orb is actually brought to you by James Dolan, the owner.
Oh!
Inheritor of the Knicks and the Madison Square Garden fortune. So, you know, one of our favorite people, one of our favorite blues singers on this podcast. Yeah.
I mean, we talk all the time about how hip hop came out of New York, but I argue that James Dolan's contribution to music are probably the biggest contributions to music New York has ever made.
You don't really see them quite yet, but they're coming.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Oh, man. They probably are. Like every billionaire will have a band with just like embarrassed looking
seasoned
musicians.
Wait, Jack, what's the over under on JD and the Straight Shot, James Dolan's band, being like one of the first bands to perform there or have a fucking residency at the Orb? Because
they're definitely opening for you.
He's forced people at Madison Square Garden, if they want to do a show there, that his band will open for the show.
God, no. He didn't force anyone. The Eagles wanted him to open for them because they respect him as a musician.
I'm sorry, allegedly. So now I can see how he'll be like, oh, yeah, I mean, like, you want in on the Orb? JD and the Straight Shot, we're opening.
Yeah.
How about that?
But it's like privately traded. Like they spun it off from their company. It's its own thing now. It's very weird and surreal and all feels like it's out of a like sci-fi novel that hasn't like really been thought through very much.
Yeah. You know?
It's like just like a very half-baked idea.
Just a bunch of orbs? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe like some orbs or something. Yeah. They like look like they're right there, but they're not.
Yeah. And then there's concerts.
Yeah, and then there's concerts and Darren Aronofsky films. God. I feel like James Cameron has to be so jealous of this. Like, feels like it's...
He's probably shitting on the Orb.
For sure.
You know what I mean? He's like, oh, that's... You think that's novel? I actually saw Titanic with my own eyes. You know, like, he's like, fuck out of here with this Orb stuff. But then secretly he's like, I want Avatar to be played on the Orb.
Yeah. All right. Should we talk about Barbenheimer?
Please.
Are you guys, do you have plans for seeing these films that you've like laid out as of yet? Or
no, but I will see them.
I will see both of them in theaters. I don't feel the need to turn it into an endurance event, but AMC is reporting that more than 20,000 fans will be catching a double feature of both movies on July 22nd. Presumably followed by an immediate CAT scan.
I mean, I don't like being, like, aside from being asleep lying down, there's nothing I want to do for 5 straight hours. Like, it just, are they taking a break? Like, I want to know what showings these people are seeing. Are they taking, like, an hour to, like, go outside and, like, refocus their eyes? Like, I leave a movie theater and I'm like, I better just go back into the dark for a while.
Right.
Do you get a discount even? Or they're just saying they know that people have been buying, like, they can just tell people are buying dual tickets for the same day. Okay. Yeah. I thought AMC is also like, hey, you want to really kind of fuck yourself up? We're selling double features to Barbenheimer. Hop in.
I mean, the internet's doing that for them.
Yeah, for sure.
People have created like amazing movie posters, Barbenheimer.
Yes.
There's this one that we'll link off to in the footnotes. That's really cool.
I saw someone refer to it as Boppenheimer, which I think I prefer.
Boppenheimer
is fun.
Yeah.
But are we giving enough respect to the Barb part of it by giving it Bop?
The fact that like the B is the iconic like Barbie letter, like I'm reading Boppenheimer all in Barbie font.
I like Boppenheimer better too.
And it just also has a better it feels more fun.
It's got Barbie is kind of bopping around out there, so it like kind of feels like it evokes Barbie even more than Barbenheimer.
Okay, so we'll go for Boppenheimer from here on out.
Yeah. But the internet is settled on Barbenheimer because you can create a t-shirt that is split directly down the middle and has Barbie on like just Barb on one side and Enheimer on the other. So the merch sells itself, folks.
It really does.
Truly.
Now call me when they make a doll out of Cillian Murphy. or Killian yeah. Murphy. I never know how to say his Kill. Name.
Yeah, we found out Killian. It was Killian. It really fucked me up.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been wrong all along. Makes him seem more sinister.
Yes, so, it really does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so totally different, obviously. Mm-hmm. The only thing they have in common is the release date. And I have a feeling that people, I don't know, I could be wrong. People, like, the early reviews for Barbie are coming out, like the word of mouth reviews, and they're like, it's a blast and it's like really fun.
You would think that Oppenheimer would be the blast.
Am I right, folks? All right, there we'll end the episode there. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm out. Leave Showbiz laughing. Rules. Leave I'm going to leave. Yeah.
So early reviews, this is from something like talking about the first Barbie screening. Early reviews called the film bombastic and a triumph and praised the craftsmanship of the costume and set design, as well as the nuanced commentary of the script that displays the highs and lows of the existentialism of Barbie and Ken's lives. So like that confirms to me, like, if there are existential questions being asked, I do think people in setting up this dichotomy are, you know, they're overestimating how much Barbie is going to be just a straight shot of like pixie stick sugar, you know, mm-hmm. like they just think it's going to be pure pink glitter. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think Greta Gerwig and, you know, Noah Baumbach co-wrote it with her. Like, that doesn't feel like their vibe. Like, he's never been a good time at the movies, I feel like. And so I'm sure on its own, maybe people would be like, yeah, but it's like really fun and stuff. But people who like see Oppenheimer and then Barbie are gonna be like, oh, this also asks like dark
that
questions.
Might fuck you up. Yeah. I mean, maybe you have to chase it with Oppenheimer. Like, you're like, fuck it. Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, man, this is where we're at. Because I'd imagine you watch Oppenheimer and you're like, what did he open the door to?
Yeah.
And then you go to like Barbie when you're like, and you still have that in the back of your mind. You're like, oh.
Yeah. It's like, what is the existence of being a woman or a man in our culture? Like, I do feel like Greta Gerwig is going to pose some pretty heavy questions, I think, with Barbie. And do you guys think there's an ideal order? Would you go one if you had to see both of them in a double feature? Which way would you do it?
I feel like most people say chase Barbie. You're chasing Oppenheimer with Barbie because that's at least less on its face about the dawn of atomic weapons.
True.
So, but I don't know. I've always said, like, let's just go all in. Like, just watch Barbie. Get your mind ready for the 3-hour mind fuck that Oppenheimer could be. So I'm saying personally, I would chase Barbie with Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
I don't know too. Why, but that'd that's where
you
I'm
do
right
Barbie
now.
Then Oppenheimer.
I
think I would do this. Also, like, I'm personally more interested in the Barbie movie, so I would want to be fresh for that one. And like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm gonna like get Oppenheimer. Like, even if I'm like half paying attention,
half asleep.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, wait, you don't think Christopher Nolan's a subtle filmmaker?
He's already out. There's no CG in this film. We're like, we know, dude. We
get it.
We got how you always do it. And I know you're really proud that you made a mushroom cloud organically like that without CG.
But also, no one's gonna care.
The only thing that like got me, just because of my like, I don't know, I love like the movie making kind of magic kind of stuff, was someone showed the IMAX print of Oppenheimer, the 3-hour
film. Oh, I saw that.
It's 600 pounds. I think 11 miles long or something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
the length of Manhattan. Like,
end to end. That's great marketing. See?
Yeah.
You know. And then just be like, and that translates into 3 hours of your day. The only thing is, I just don't think physically I'm capable of actually doing a double feature like
that. I don't think I can.
It's
so
too much.
As much as I
it's
say
too
that,
exhausting.
Like, I don't even know if I could do it like consecutive days. Like, maybe a Friday, then a Sunday, or maybe just 1 week, then the next. Because it's been a while since I've even watched movies that close to each other.
Yeah. I also can't go like 5 hours without talking. Like, I just need right. I'd be like, I want to talk to someone, right? Like, also, that's the thing is, like, after I think either of those movies, the point is you want to talk about them. Like, after I see Barbie, I want to like go to the bar with my friends and like spend 2 hours talking about the movie. And I think Oppenheimer, I'll probably have something to say after it.
it's a tall order.
Tom Cruise made the Oppenheimer thing official because he did his like, I love movies. God damn it. How fucking great are movies, everyone? Yeah. Thing he tweeted out, this summer is full of amazing movies to see in theaters. Congratulations, Harrison Ford, on 40 years of indie. I love a double feature, and it doesn't get more explosive or more pink than one with Oppenheimer and Barbie. And then like tweeted out a picture of him and I don't know who that is next to him, maybe Christopher McQuarrie, holding up the tickets to prove like, we've done it, we're gonna really do this damn thing. Mm-hmm. And then Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig did the same thing with like standing in front of the Oppenheimer thing poster with just like, oh, yeah, big smiles on their face, like,
yeah, they're clearly being like, we're Tom
Oppenheimer.
Cruise
Oppenheimer. This is gonna be so fun. So the theory, because I have wondered this, I've been like, why did they do this? Like, it's a,
yeah,
like
Chris Nolan's pissed. There's something, yeah, that came out today that said like he's been telling people that he's not happy with the sharing, yeah, the same release.
So this is his first movie that's not with Warner Brothers. His whole career has been with Warner Brothers. No. There was the Tenet thing where, you know, it came out during the pandemic. He insisted like it, right, had to come out in theaters. They did that, and like nobody felt comfortable going to movie theaters really. And so like it just did bad. And then they released a bunch of movies simultaneously on HBO Max, and he like shit all over them and said, some of our industry's biggest filmmakers and most important movie stars went to bed the night before thinking they were working for the greatest movie studio and woke up to find out they were working for the worst streaming service.
Oh, damn. Shots fired.
Calling it the worst streaming service feels like a little petulant.
I don't know.
Like,
they're all jockeying for first place at all times.
Right.
Exactly. I like how you're like, whoa, let's not come at HBO Max.
leave Zaslav alone. Leave we're Zaslav big Zaz heads here. So then he took this film over to Universal, and people are speculating that because Barbie is Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And like mid-July is known as like when Christopher Nolan movies come out and everybody just clears the fuck out and doesn't, mm-hmm, release anything around then. And Warner Brothers was like, we got a winner here with this Barbie movie, and fuck you, Christopher Nolan, is the working theory.
Ah, so yeah. That
I like
the,
that.
The proverbial atom was split, so to speak, with, yes, the Tenet release. Oh. Yeah, and here we are. Huh, interesting.
Publicly, well, he's saying, someone was like, I told him my theory that Barbenheimer was born through the complex history he has with Warner Brothers. And he said, now you must know I'm not going to answer that question, he said with a chuckle, only to say those who care about the theatrical experience, we've been longing for a crowded marketplace with a lot of different movies. That's what theaters have now. And those of us who care about movies are thrilled about that. That statement was written by Tom Cruise. And then according
to... Oh, wait, it was?
No, but it just feels like it. It feels like right. He took that directly.
ChatGPT or Tom Cruise.
Reading from a Tom Cruise quote. But then like sources familiar with the matter said Nolan wasn't nearly as diplomatic in his stance behind the scenes. Yeah. They told Insider he was upset that Warner Brothers dated Barbie the same weekend as Oppenheimer, especially since mid-July has been known in the movie business as Nolan's weekend for years.
It's my weekend, Barbie. Shut up.
Like a 25-year-old girl having a birthday.
Yeah.
It's my weekend.
Yeah. It's like that Kim Kardashian thing. You took my wedding country and my wedding singer. Like, oh my God, fool, shut up. Now I hope Barbie puts a smack on Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, go cry. It's funny too, because like I used to be like a former like Nolan fuckboy who was like, yo, dude, he doesn't use CG, dude. It's just the fucking sickest shit ever. And then like after a while, like it just really wore thin on me. And I'm like, hey, I don't know. Like I haven't even seen the last few films that he's made.
You didn't see Tenet? Like,
no, I don't know why.
See Tenet either.
All right, sorry, I'm going to blow your mind. Think about that word. It's the same forward and backwards.
The fucking palindrome? What the fuck? Oh, all right. Now I'm back, dude. This guy's fucking genius, man.
Wait till I tell you about a website called Kayak.
Oh! Whoa! A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Damn. Go hang a salami. Atomic I'm a lasagna explosion. Hog. That's my favorite.
Is that? Go hang a salami.
Jesus. I'm a lasagna hog is the longest palindrome that I know.
Wow.
That's a pretty good one.
It'd have to be a palindrome measuring contest.
If fucking Nolan just knew that palindrome, that's what he would have called the freaking movie. It would have been a success. We wouldn't
honestly
be in this mess.
I'd buy a ticket to see that movie yeah. with COVID going on.
Wait, what is it again? I'm a what is it?
Go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog.
Wow. What would that film be about if he really went there? It's about Garfield. Like a.
I think it should have been the exact same thing. It's actually a Garfield movie. The secret code word for the mission is go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog.
But it's about Oppenheimer, it's completely the Manhattan humorless. Project.
Yeah. yeah. Amazing. Well, Allison, it's been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah. Where can people so find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I am on Instagram and Twitter still, allegedly, right. at Allison Leiby, A-L-I-S-O-N-L-E-I-B-Y. I'm on TikTok. I don't post. I'm just there lurking. And hey. You can listen to my podcast, Ruined, which I do with the very funny Hallie Kiefer, who I think has been on this show possibly. And if not, maybe one day. Yeah. Where we, I'm afraid of horror movies and I never, ever, ever want to watch them. They terrify the crap out of me, but she is obsessed with them. And so every episode she tells me the plot of a different movie that I refuse to see. So if you love horror, she's like a student of the genre and such a talented storyteller and so funny. And if you don't like horror, but you want to know what happens in these movies, this is better than reading the Wikipedia entry, which I had been doing for years before we started doing this. So that's Ruined. And you can find us at Ruined Podcast on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. And we're owned by Crooked Media, which we love them.
Yeah, I love having video games described to me. I don't play them, but I love having them described to me. There's something like really nice about that. Or, like having a movie plot. Like, even if it's ruined, I don't give a shit. If I watch it, I'll forget or I'll enjoy it anyways.
Yeah, I just, I don't, you know, I just like information.
Yeah.
right.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
A Twitter and Instagram account that I'm obsessed with called DeShareZone. Are we familiar with DeShareZone?
Oh, yeah.
I've never related more to any human or entity the way I relate to what this social media account does. It's like it's like art that someone makes that's like very like skeleton forward. And then there's writing over it. And it's always pretty. It's pretty like pro-union and anti-doing anything.
Right.
And the one that I saw today that just made me be like, I have to talk about this, says, I'm pretty sure all I need to fix my life is a cool sword. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. I love that.
But yeah, with all the skulls.
Yeah, with all the skulls. And like a lot of it is like, steal from work. Who cares? It's like, yeah, that's great. I love that message. It's really fun. It really just genuinely makes me laugh every time I see any of the posts. So
yeah.
Highly recommend. A great follow.
There you go. Miles, where can people find you? Is there work in media you've been enjoying?
There's another that says, do you want me to quit fucking everything up? Me too, bitch.
Yeah, he's like very apologetic and like self-deprecating.
It's so stupid. find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got at symbols. That's including Threads, where I'm actually slightly more engaged there because I talk to people I went to high school and explain what I do for a living. And also find me, you know, find me on my new podcast, which actually comes out today, called The Good Thief. It's a true crime adjacent podcast. It's about this guy, Vasilis Paliokostas, who is like legit looked at as the Greek Robin Hood. He was kidnapping millionaires and giving money away. And as a result, became Interpol's most wanted. He's like one of Interpol's most wanted fugitives. And the whole podcast is about learning about the man behind the myth and in search of him to maybe try and hear from this legend himself. So if you don't mind giving that a subscribe and a review, I would really appreciate that, Zeitgang and all listeners, as I take a dip into the more, you know, traditional podcast space. Again, and find us on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And also my 90 Day Fiance podcast with Sophie Alexander called 420 Day Fiance. Let's see. Tweet I like. It was just kind of stupid. It's at Stephen Ray Morris. It's like an old tweet that I saw Andrew T like, but it came up on my timeline. It looks like a brontosaurus, like looking longingly out of a window of a car as it's driving. It says, taking my dog for a nice drive today. The image of it just really looks like a dog just kind of looking out the window.
Yeah, that's like, great.
Shout out to the brontosaurus, brontosauri.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Kath Barbadoro tweeted, kind of cool how in Ryan Gosling's Ken, we have the positive version of a method actor becoming the Joker. Every PR quote from him is incomprehensible. He went too method for Barbie and now his brain doesn't work. People, like, that is the thing, the initial response to the movie is like, he's fucking incredible in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm on board. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, we're going to go out on another track. I think we did a song off of one of the Flume mixtapes recently, but this is another one called Things Don't Always Go the Way You Plan. It's featuring Injury Reserve. It's just kind of a dope, or no, this, sorry. This is the titular track off that album. I was referencing another song. But yeah, check this track out. It's just dope. I've always liked Flume like many years ago, and I didn't realize how much music is still being made. So just a little bit of electronic, chaotic production for you just as we enter the weekend slowly. I know it's hump day, but you know, we're getting over,
we're
that
getting there
right now.
We're getting there.
Gentle glide into the weekend.
That's mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, yeah, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the no sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.